When you think IMAX, you may think about one of those great big screens. Or maybe you think about one of those great big movies like To Fly. I can still remember feeling like I'm sitting in the basket of that hot air balloon as it came over the mountain. Well, there's a publicly traded company behind those theaters and those movies, and that company is IMAX. Rich Gelfond is the co-chairman and co-CEO of IMAX. He joins us from his offices in New York City. Rich Gelfond, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Rich, let's begin by getting a snapshot of what IMAX is today. Many of us associate IMAX movies with our local museum.
And I think people who do that are probably a little bit older than most of the kids today, because that's where IMAX's roots were, which was in museums and science centers. But starting about a decade ago, when my partner Brad Wexler and I acquired the company, we started a transition to move it into more commercial mainstream entertainment. And I think in the last several years, that really accelerated because of a development we had where we could take Hollywood films and convert them into IMAX films. So whereas years ago, you had to make specialty films for the IMAX format, and some of them were quite good, such as Space Station 3D or the Everest film, which was very successful. Now you can take Hollywood blockbusters and you can turn them into IMAX using computer technology. So, for example, we just played Batman Begins and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and we have Harry Potter coming out in a few weeks.
And we'll talk about that important transition for your company in a minute. Rich, let me ask you, you mentioned you and Brad acquired this company a decade or so ago. How did IMAX first get started?
About almost 40 years ago, five friends in northern, north of Toronto, got together in connection with one of the expos. And one of them was an inventor, and two were filmmakers, and two were businessmen. And literally working out of a garage, they invented the IMAX system. And what's really special about IMAX is the film frame is 10 times the size of 35 millimeter. That's how you get such a big, clear image. And they were able to figure out a way that that film could go through the projector at 48 frames a second without tearing it to bits, and that's kind of the basic patent.
Mm. Now, the Air and Space Museum here in Washington, D.C. is where I saw my first IMAX film. I think it was probably To Fly, and that one I think is still playing at the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. But you've already pointed to the big change for you all. Just this year, Batman Begins, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and of course the Harry Potter movie. That causes an investor to wonder, well, how is this company actually making money today? Where is it coming from and where's the growth?
The big part of our revenues and our profits today are coming from a combination of opening new theaters and our existing theater base. When we open a new theater, we recognize a significant gross margin upon the opening, and in addition, we get maintenance fees and royalty fees. So you get recurring revenues plus one-time revenues. In addition, IMAX's economics are very much like a network, and as the network grows, the profitability grows. So if you look at the last Harry Potter, which was introduced in the summer of last year, I think it was released on about 45 theaters in North America, maybe 50. This Harry Potter, which is opening in a couple weeks, will open on about 70 theaters in North America.
And that would be 70 IMAX theaters.
70 IMAX
many more than
theaters,
that. But,
in addition to the 35 millimeter. So we get a piece of the box office on every theater where that opens. So as the network expands, we get these one-time revenues from system sales, we get royalties from the theaters, we get maintenance from the theaters, and then we get this ongoing piece of the box office. It's kind of similar to like an HBO, which takes its content, and the more subscribers it has, the cost of content doesn't go up, but it gets more profitable.
Mm. How much does it cost to build an IMAX theater?
That's an interesting question, because that's another opportunity where we've made great strides in recent years. A decade ago when we bought the company, including the building and the equipment, it was probably about $6 or $7 million. In the late 90s, we engineered it down to about $4.5 million. But now you can retrofit an existing stadium seat auditorium and turn it into an IMAX theater for a cost of about $1.5 million all in, including our equipment. So that means that IMAX theaters can go in locations that never could have supported them before.
Mm. Any chance of driving your cost down below $10,000, and maybe I can put one of these in my den?
We're looking at it. I mean, kidding aside, I think you'll never have true IMAX quality in your den, but we're always looking at new opportunities. I think when there's a product good enough to put the IMAX name on it, that's something we'd consider.
Mm. Rich Gelfond, we've read that an IMAX camera can weigh up to 100 pounds. How does that limit what you can film?
Well, one of the really good technical breakthroughs we had in recent years is the ability to take 35 millimeter film and blow it up to IMAX, such as we're doing with these Hollywood releases. Mm-hmm. So years ago, the size of the camera would have been a limiting factor. And in fact, when people carried the camera up Everest, that was a rather dramatic achievement. The 2D cameras are about 35 pounds, and the 3Ds are around 70 pounds. But with the advent of our ability to convert footage, you can take pictures in 35 millimeter, or in some cases even 16 millimeter, and convert it to IMAX. And in our Space Station 3D film, one of the shots was taken with a 16 millimeter camera in the shuttle on takeoff, and we converted it to IMAX. And when you see the footage in the theater, it looks like it was filmed in IMAX. So that was a limiting factor that we've overcome.
Mm. Let's say I'm a prospective customer in a city, a mid-sized city that doesn't yet have an IMAX screen, or maybe a theater operator in that city. Am I able to charge more? Am I paying more for an IMAX ticket?
Yeah, that's one of the things you would like if you were the theater operator. We usually get about a 30% price premium, somewhere between $2 and $3, depending what the 35 millimeter ticket costs. So that's one of the attractive things. We think of IMAX in a way like Starbucks or like first class in an airline. I mean, some people might not want to pay the extra price, but for those who want to step up in experience and want something differentiated, you know, $3 extra seems like a little amount to pay to get the best movie experience on the planet.
Mm. What about some films that are currently in the works that will be coming to my local IMAX theater?
Coming in the next few months is Harry Potter 4, which I think is The Goblet of Fire.
That's right.
And that's coming November 17th. A week later, we're re-releasing Polar Express in 3D at IMAX theaters, and both of those films will probably run until January. Disney is releasing a Mars film in late January. At some time in the first quarter, release date not yet determined, we have a film called Deep Sea 3D, which is an IMAX 3D underwater adventure. Mm. We're working and we're close to finalizing two pictures for the spring, and that's something I hope to be announcing shortly. Then after that, we have a 3D version of a film Tom Hanks and Playtone are working on. It's called Ant Bully, and it's a child book turned into CGI animation and 3D in IMAX. After that, we have a film called Happy Feet, which is another CGI film turned into 3D, released by Warner Brothers. And we hope to have, finally, you know, another film for fall of next year.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Rich Gelfond, the CEO, co-chairman, and co-CEO of IMAX. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a very popular book called The Tipping Point, where he talked about businesses that hit a certain moment where, okay, now enough people know about us or are buying from us that we've just tipped over into popularity. We have passed the big hurdle for us, and now everyone knows about us. Do you feel as if IMAX has yet hit its tipping point?
I think we're at the tipping point. I think that if you look at our growth in theater signings, you look at the growth in box office, you look at the growth in films, they certainly suggest that we're right there. One way I like to think about it is it used to be like pushing a rock up a hill to get the studios to release a film in IMAX, and now they're kind of fighting with us over different slots that they want. So if we're not there yet, it certainly feels like we're very close.
Mm. To close, Rich, how about a tip for all us aspiring videographers? What can I do to make my home movies, my kids' soccer games, more riveting?
I think you have to try and look at it from the audience's point of view. That's one of the things I learned early in the business, is that, you know, I think any good filmmaker can take the perspective of the audience. So I'll give you a slight example. If you were filming your kid's soccer game, rather than just filming the soccer game, take pictures of the audience screaming and cheering, because that really gives excitement and it gives the viewer something to relate to.
That is a great tip. I'm going to put that into play this weekend. Rich Gelfond is the co-CEO of IMAX, co-chairman of the board as well. He joined us from New York City. Rich Gelfond, thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
My pleasure. Thank you.